everyone.
Let's get dangerous.
This is all going to work. It feels so right.
With KCLE.
He's opening our minds to new ideas. Kill him!
Who is that guy?
Your mama.
You just made the list!
Oh, wait, you're serious. Let me laugh even harder.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
What is up, you ducks? How you been? It's been a while. We've been doing this pod thing, had the cruise, and then finished off the cruise the very last day. Wasn't feeling too well, and then got home, went to sleep the next night, woke up at 3 a.m., went to the ER, and surprise, you have super special Caribbean, I guess that's what we call Caribbean, strep, and then that wasn't good enough. Because I got to be the best at everything, meanie. So just not only getting the super special strep, I have to take it to the next level and took it and turn it into bronchitis. So that's where I've been. How have you been for the past 2.5 weeks?
I've missed you, dude. I hopefully had a good time other than the wrap up of your vacation and you're battling through it here. But yeah, no, holding down the fort here. Got to watch your Rangers get knocked out, watch my Mavs get knocked out last night. So we're just going to talk some football here today, and I'm excited to talk it with you, buddy. Welcome.
I know. We got to see the Rangers right before I left. I was like, game seven's not even happening at this point. I was like, so that's the good thing. I don't have to worry about trying to stress it on the ship. But it was fun for everybody out there wondering about cruises. Pretty good. I mean, like Nicole and I both said like 6.5, 7 out of 10. Like some fun.
Not bad.
Don't get the concept of some things. Like the karaoke place was packed every single night and it was a very small room. And like, why? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like when you have something that's that popular, some of the shows were funny. I will say though, to the surprise of what should be no one, meanie, Nicole and I won perfect couple on the ship.
Nice.
Yes. There are some, there are some videos that will never see the light of the day on the internet. When I see you at Flex, I will hit you, and if D comes with you, you can get to see some of them. Nice. We'll just say one of the games involved me with a roll of toilet paper between my knees, Nicole with a pole between her knees, blindfolded, and had to stick the one through the other to kind of give you an idea. Like, but yes, we won perfect couple.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, so that was fun. That part was fun, at least. We got a wonderful medallion around the neck for that. But
nice.
Fantasy football is what we're talking about. Also, the name change is coming in a few weeks. This Fox is going to get some news here. I actually forgot to tell Fox. Don't know if we're sticking with All In Fantasy Football. Some people are like, take this chance to really differentiate. I put a poll out there. It's all over the place. Did you see the poll, Meanie? Do you have an opinion? Because some people are like, well, you rank things all the time, and you're always ranking. And that's kind of your thing. Get rank in the title. I was concerned that people would think of Adam Rank from NFL.com as soon as you hear rank something. But like Get Ranked was super popular. Rank Tales was popular. Nando said Rank Footer instead of Frank Footer because it's memorable. Yeah. But I'm kind of curious, like just as a, like for everybody out there, like your opinion, like should we just stick with the classic All In Fantasy Football, or is this the chance to rank it up, so to speak?
Yeah, I guess it is a chance to be a little different. It would feel weird though doing a show with you or listening to you and not having it all in, right? All in's kind of been your thing. It's been your, I don't know how long you've had that Twitter handle. I would assume, I mean, well before I met you.
I actually fought Twitter for it. So the funny thing was, All In Kid was taken and it was a dead account. And then like I had already been using it for the old company we wrote for and worked for. And then I was like, hey, it's a dead account. It's kind of my thing. I've had it since 2003 or four was when it was given to me by my friends Mike and Bob way back in the day, another radio show. But anyway, so it's been a while since I've had it.
I like Get Ranked. It's cool, but I agree with Nathan here. I think keeping it original, you're all in. You're Jake Seeley, all in.
Rankings.
All in rankings. All in rankings, not bad. I mean, Nando's right in terms of just having
rank footer.
like you've just been doing, you've been ranking everything for years, right? One of the GOAT rankers of all time. So I do get putting ranked in there. All in ranked. I don't know. All in, maybe just switch it out.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm going to have to do one final poll. Yeah, they have, but it's just super close. If somebody was like, rank that instead of crank that, but then I can't do a Soulja Boy dance. So I'm sorry. Like that's never going to happen. But
you
anyway,
weren't in the, you weren't karaoke room doing Soldier Boy? No.
Oh, actually, that was one of the things. One of my favorite things, surprisingly, was the silent dance party where you put the headphones on and it's got two channels, and the headphones actually are blue or gray, or gray, green, blue or green. Yeah. And you can switch between the channels. And so everybody, there's no music playing in the room. I have videos of that. That was actually pretty funny because you hear how terrible people are trying to sing along. And then the best part is like when it's a super popular song, like 369 came on. So everybody's singing the chorus and then it starts doing like the lyrics and everybody's just kind of like, and it sounds like a really bad basketball game because of the squeaking on the floor and stuff like that from the dancing. So that was fun. That I will say that. They should see, that's a perfect example of how we got bored on the ship. That was night one and they never did it again for the rest of the trip. And why not even do it a second or a third time?
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, I keep sidebarring here, but it's been 2.5 weeks since we've done the show. And I kind of wanted to look at today and just kind of recap, because what we did before I left was what could happen in OTAs that would make you or I take notice and actually move our opinion in one way or another. There has been some news since I've been gone. And since I've been gone, I just keep singing songs. And I wanted to see your thoughts of if any of these actually ended up moving needles, because I think some of them are pretty significant. The big one, I think it's Brandon Ayuk, isn't it? Because this went from, he wants a new contract just like everybody else. We've seen a few handed out. Jefferson got his big deal. And, of course, there's rumors of whether or not Chase, CeeDee Lamb, all that type of stuff. But Ayuk started even before the draft. There was rumors, as you know, and remember, we were sitting here talking about draft opportunities and that whether or not he'd get traded during the draft. The first round ended, and that was pretty much out the window for the compensation they're hoping to get. And now he posting that. Now, of course, we all know there's games being played on both sides. Players scrub social media. It's about the time where trades generally don't happen because free agents happen. Free agency has happened. The draft has happened. It's very hard to maneuver at this point, cap-wise, team-wise, construction. But it's still out there. Do you think Ayuk is with the 49ers next year? First question. That's the very first question.
I don't. I think that the way that they addressed the draft this year with like a couple wide receivers and Purcell early and, even a running back, it felt like they were just kind of planning ahead. I think they want to deal one of the two. And I don't think that they'll have success dealing Debo. I think that Ayuk is the guy that teams would want. I think the return could be slightly better. I know it's the NFL and there's not a lot of good returns. I would personally like to keep Ayuk if I was a part of the Niners organization and say, let's move on from Debo. I mean, he's taken a lot of shots over the past couple of years. He suffered some injuries. He's probably still got a couple more years left, but I think Ayuk's just scratching the surface as like, a legit stud wide receiver. But I have this weird feeling. I think that there's some sort of immaturity there with Ayuk as well, leading into the playoffs, right after the playoffs happened. What did he say? I got 3 targets in the game. Like, I'm not part of the game plan. He just seems to be agitated, and the Niners are, I don't know, man. They're not, obviously he's not going to get JJ money, but you mentioned Chase and CD and Higgins, all these guys need to be signed, and he's going to be asking for AJ Brown money, and the Niners got to look themselves in the mirror and say, are we going to give him that kind of dough, and how is it going to affect us moving forward?
Yeah, and the problem I'm looking at here is where, though. And that's the other problem is, like, who wants to give up what's going to be involved, which is likely going to start, in my opinion, the conversation starts with the 2025 first. And then from there, because we've seen that before. I mean, we know what happened with your AJ Brown trade a few years ago with Treylon Burks and everything like that. So, the Bills, I guess, kind of would make sense if they don't think that Keon Coleman or the players that they have could be the guy. But the Bills almost kind of also feel like they might be shifting away from that after going with the Stephon Diggs. And now you're going to do it for a second time and all the draft capital you already gave up. I mean, outside of everybody else, like the Patriots have a clear need, but I mean, that almost feels like, what are you doing, like, structure-wise? That kind of feels like going back to when the Giants drafted Barkley. Like, that doesn't fix your team to give up what you have to give up, like, cost-wise for the rest of the team. So I start going through, and it's like, Steelers? Steelers seems to make sense if they don't think that Roman Wilson's the two. Outside of that,
Chargers probably don't do it, right? Do the Chargers probably just stay the course? Different. I know they're thin at wide receiver, but new regime, they probably just want to build, keep those draft picks. I agree. Somebody asked me this last week, like where, what team should be calling?
So, there is one
that I thought about.
I haven't got. Oh, is there? Honestly, you go first because there wasn't one you thought about.
I was thinking Chargers, Jets.
It's not Chargers. It's in the NFC. I'll give you one guess to see if you can get it. It's in the NFC. If this team here, I'll give you a big hint. If this team, if this team's offseason, what we talked about before I left, is kind of smoke and mirrors, and the excitement of what he could potentially finally be after being injured to start his career isn't true, and you're talking about a team that is on the cusp. Albert just said it in the chat.
Oh, the Lions. I mean, that would be...
That seems like a fit.
It would be bad for fantasy, but it would be great for Jared Goff and the Lions. I mean, yeah, it depends if Jameson Williams... I still believe in Jameson Williams.
So do I.
I think the organization does too. But yeah, imagine Ayuk with... Amon-Ra and Laporta and Gibbs catching balls out of the backfield. That would be the missing piece, I think. I don't even think they need them, but that would
that's where I'm presenting it is, which would you rather? So now let's take it from that aspect in fantasy. Would you rather Ayuk on the Steelers as a clear one with, well, yeah, clear. He's ahead of Pickens. Would you rather him there battling with Pickens as he will be the one, but Pickens not too far behind him, with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, or we're talking fantasy specifically, would you rather him on the Lions? Because you just mentioned that's kind of, now you're dinging everybody to a degree. This is almost like the 49ers all over again.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather him on the Steelers. Honestly, if I'm an Ayuk dynasty owner and I like where he's at, I'd like him to stay with the Niners. I mean, he led the team in catches. I know there's a lot of guys there on the field, but he's always been among the leaders in yards per catch, in 1,000 yards, back to back seasons now. So
there is one more team, by the way.
Ooh, give it to me.
That was number two. So Steelers/Lions are like 2-3 for me. You could argue either way. There is a clear number one in my opinion. They're staying in the NFC, but we're going south. NFC South, dirty South.
I mean, you say the Falcons, but I say the Saints would be a good spot.
I say Kirk Cousins he's the number one, and now you push Drake and London to the two with Kyle Pitts, and all of a sudden, I think that's actually not only
beautifully,
a good fit, but we'd be excited for fantasy still. Possibly even more so than when he was with the 49ers.
Absolutely. And I think that Drake London is getting overdrafted a touch as like wide receiver 10. So having Ayuk there, like who's a true two opposite of Ayuk? It's not Darnell Mooney.
That's who they have right now. Yeah.
Right. And yeah, that would be a really good fit. And I would like that. I'm still going to like that offense, but man, moving forward, even if you're looking down the road, right, with Pitts and Ayuk and Bijan Robinson and Drake London and then Michael Penix Jr. at one point, it'd be all right. Not bad.
I have a crazy question. I'm going to throw this out there. I'm just going to say, coming off the year he just had, and I know there's like to call it the worst year he's had for his career relative to everybody else in the NFL is insane. But we're talking fantasy here. I just want to present this. Fantasy. I think it's a legit question. If Brandon Ayuk got traded to the Falcons and we knew Kirk Cousins was 100%, obviously that's still on the table. We're not debating that. That's not part of the argument. Kirk Cousins is 100%. He has Ayuk, London, and Pitts. Would you draft, I just want straight up, fantasy, I don't want cost, we know one's going to cost significantly less than the other, but for fantasy purposes, would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or Kirk Cousins next year if Brandon Ayuk was on the Falcons? I think that's a legit toss-up, and my point being in this point is that nobody's even going to think twice on rounds. Like, these are still going to be 5-6 rounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it won't even be close. Cousins maybe quarterback 10. You know, Mahomes is still going to go as a top five guy. I would say Cousins, the way that he plays, the way that he slings it around the football field. I like we'll see what the play calling looks like, but it should be very similar to Sean McVay's offensive tree. Just, you know, with Kevin O'Connell moving over from Minnesota, the offense should be very similar. And I would say Kirk Cousins, man, with those weapons. I'm really excited for everybody in Atlanta's offense. Bijan to get away from Arthur Smith and Drake London to finally have a quarterback to play with, Kyle Pitts to get some targets, and not Jonnu Smith. So I would go Cousins there, yeah.
It's funny, I wasn't going to talk about this, but you brought up Drake London, and kind of, you wasn't a throwaway line, it kind of got thrown away in our conversation, but I want to come back to it. You said that Drake London, you feel like he's being overdrafted right now. One, I've been gone for 2.5 weeks. Where do you see him on Underdog right now? And then two, why do you feel
10?
It?
Why does super 10?
I don't even know.
That's 10.
I thought I was pretty high on him. That's
ahead of ahead. Garrett Wilson's still going like after Puka and after AJ Brown, but then it's like Drake London, ahead of Marv, ahead of Devontae Adams, ahead of Ayuk, ahead of Debo, ahead of like he is your draft. You always say this to me, and we've been saying it for years. You're drafting. It's kind of what we said about Bijan. You're drafting him at the cost. At the what is Drake London gonna be wide receiver one overall? People are drafting him.
Return value.
Right, to be a low end wide receiver one. And I know best ball is very different. And maybe when we get closer to August or flex leagues, maybe he's not wide receiver one. Maybe he's wide receiver 14. But even in the SiriusXM post draft, that was He went as wide receiver 13 or 14 in that draft, couple picks into the second. I want Pitts. I think that Kyle Pitts is the value is going as tight end six or something. I wouldn't be shocked if Pitts had a better season. I wouldn't be shocked if it was a very similar season. And I just treat Kyle Pitts as a wide receiver this year, as a wide receiver two, low end two, and you're getting him, you know, as tight end six, seven off the board.
Okay, well then let's play this game. Would you rather have Drake London, Ayuk, or Debo? Actually, just rank those three, assuming Ayuk is still with the 49ers, because I would take both. Again, I had London at 15 in my offseason rankings. I thought I was going to be pretty high on him. I thought he was actually going to be undervalued because people are like not giving enough credit to the targets that he will see. As you mentioned, right now, number two is Darnell Mooney, and they're coming from Kirk Cousins now. I was like, man, he's pushing wide receiver one. 10's at, like, I'm not doing 10. So it's, I would still take both 49ers. Assuming Ayuk is still on the 49ers come week one, I would still take Ayuk and Debo before I took London. Would you do the same?
Yeah, I could argue maybe London over Debo, but yeah, Ayuk for sure. And I mean, at the end of the day, London may get more targets than both of those guys. But you know, the questions that I had about Brock Purdy heading into last year, they were all answered. And that's another guy too. Again, we're going to do this again with Purdy going as quarterback 14. Crazy.
He's new Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he's got all those weapons. Another year under Shanahan's offense. You know, he led the NFL in yards per attempt. He's right there. Completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, all those things. Didn't turn the ball over really. But yeah, I would say Ayuk, Debo is a touch safer. But I know why everyone wants that ceiling, right? It's like, oh, Drake London, he's finally with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins tossed 35 touchdowns, and who else is going to get them? Darnell Mooney's only going to get a couple.
And that's the thing, is you said the ceiling, and if you remember and you look at, I mean, obviously you have to spend first round draft capital on some of these wide receivers and running backs, but there's a lot that finished as second round values that they weren't taken. It's not like they were taken in the second, they weren't taken in the third, and then you got net even return. These were guys at like fifth, sixth, seventh round picks. That's more what you're looking for. Once you get to this point, you can still take Drake London late second round. That's fine. It's just,
yeah, I agree.
If he does everything we expect him to do, cool. You got your payoff. And that's what we're pointing out here. Is like, sure, Drake London could return exactly what his cost is right now, but returning exactly what his cost is not how you win leagues. If you just went through and you hit your first seven picks and they're like exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you probably have a pretty damn good team. But winning championships comes from having extra third, fourth, second round values that came later in the draft, because you're not looking to just go straight down the list. So here's one more for you. Mike Evans, back again with the Buccaneers. They're running it straight back of last year outside of adding some small pieces in the draft and free agency. Would you go Mike Evans or would you go Drake London? Because I still go Mike Evans.
Me too. You and I may be alone on this. I definitely think it's closer. Mike Evans is not getting disrespected like last year. But I'm looking at the ADP now, and part of this, you know, this best ball wide receivers are just pushed up. It's not going to be your typical. Again, we'll throw to flex.
Is he wide receiver 16?
Is that a good guess? 17, but still 22nd overall. Like Drake London is wide receiver 10, but ADP of 14. So these wide receivers are really pushed up draft boards. I mean, for example, Devontae Smith is wide receiver 19. He's picked 25 on average. So these running backs are getting pushed down draft boards. But Mike Evans, he may not have the same type of season with Baker. Would he have 1,300 yards and again, double digit? But he's just done this forever now. And the only thing is like maybe a hamstring pops up with him. But when he's healthy, he's on the field. There's actually more consistency in his game with Baker than the final year with Brady when he had that, you know, monster week 17 or week 18 game where he had like 30 some points. I would go Evans. There's just a nice track record there.
All right, so one more, and this comes to the bit of news that was thrown out for DK Metcalf. This one kind of flew under the radar a little bit. Like nobody, I saw it. I'm like, eh, it's somewhat interesting, and I'm gonna explain why in a second. But it didn't hit like Twitter. Like everybody wasn't like, ooh, blah, blah. Like all these other ones so far, and some of the others we're gonna talk about. They were like, ooh, you know, raised eyebrows. People are tweeting. This is why I was saying this. The one that just kind of went out there was DK Metcalf, and I saw it. And I thought this was interesting. They said, we're going to move him around this year. And the reason I think that's interesting is not because moving him around. Like, DK Metcalf can get open against anybody. He will struggle on certain level of corners because of his more straight line speed. But the moving around raised my eyebrow because of what we knew about DK coming out of college. What we knew about Metcalf his first 2 years is that it was play majority on the left, a lot of like post deep routes, cut some off, but it's not like he's going underneath. It's not like he's hitting out of the slot. It's not like he's coming back on curl routes too much. It's more breakoffs because of his speed and his strength, everything like that. And it was like, it's fine, because who cares? DK Metcalf, because of who he is, doesn't need to run the full route tree. He doesn't need to be that guy. If he is adding this dimension to his game, and he is developing, and they are going to move him around because of the development, not just because it's like, ooh, let's find new ways to get him open. I don't know that they need to do that unless he is growing. That makes me kind of like, oh, ooh, I know his quarterback situation really hasn't changed. Maybe Sam Howell plays at some point this year, which might actually be a good or a bad thing. Who the hell knows? But when I see DK Metcalf could possibly be developing his route tree even more, that makes me say, you know what? DK Metcalf or Drake London on the board, I mean, one, we are shooting for ceiling, assuming Kirk Cousins, assuming the potential. We've seen DK Metcalf top 10, top 12, top 10, top 12. And if you add this, I'm like, I would take DK Metcalf over Drake London just based on this news. Not that it moved the needle that much, but I think this deserved more attention than it got.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And the OC is new there, right? Ryan Grubb comes from Washington, and he's a creative mind. I mean, Washington University, we have a bunch of players from the draft just came from that team, right? Exactly. Three wide receivers and quarterback. And moving him around, because you're right, it wasn't like he was just one dimensional, but his route tree seemed limited, even though he has all the tools, I think, in my opinion, to run any kind of route, line up any way around the field. I'm in on DK. That tier is super long that we talked about before, and I think it probably starts there, you know, maybe just after Devontae Adams and into London and all the way down to wide receiver 24, probably, when you include some of the other guys. Like DK is going as wide receiver 20. I'm out on Lockett. I'm excited about JSN. I think JSN will, you know, saw last year the emergence of him, and, you know, heading into year two, I think he'll be a little bit more involved. But DK is, he's the touchdown machine. He's the moneymaker. He's the guy with the highest ceiling on the squad. So that's something to follow. You're right. Nobody's talking about that. I kind of just got glossed over, probably myself included. I saw it and I was like, interesting. DK all over the place.
So one I think is fair to gloss over is Darren Waller officially retired. Expected this the entire time, and then he retired. And not gloss over because, you know, you stay away from making music videos, Darren. But
my goodness.
Maybe explain this. Am I just such a jaded old Giants fan, not anymore, that I saw this and I'm like, I still don't care. Like, why are we trying to figure out Daniel Bellinger and Theo Johnson, who's a rookie? I think Theo Johnson's interesting long term, but I'm still going to come back to the fact of, who's the quarterback? It's Daniel Jones. The dude didn't even throw a touchdown per game. And we're trying to figure out and get excited for the tight end, which, by the way, Malik Nabers is probably going to capitalize 30% of the passing game. And like, why? Like, am I nuts? Or am I just hate? It's just a hate guy now?
You're not. It's crazy how many people wanted this to be a thing with Darren Waller. And no shots fired at our guy, Dane Martinez, but on the Sirius show last week when we previewed the Giants, he was in on Waller. He liked to take a shot on Waller as tight end 14, 15. And I said, why? I said, what's the point? One, he could retire at any moment, and then he did, but there was rumors now for a couple months. Two, he hasn't been able to stay on the field. Like, forget last season with the Giants. Even the final two seasons with the Raiders, this guy couldn't stay on the field. And we just had the super small sample size of Daniel Jones peppering him with targets in preseason games, and everybody lost their damn mind. I don't think this offense is going to be good. The offensive line's not going to be good. You know this. The viewers and listeners know this. We're not breaking any news. I don't care about. I think Daniel Bellinger is banged up too, but I just don't really care about anybody. Even Neighbors, man, I like him overall, but I have a hard time spending a wide receiver 18 price on him.
That's another one.
Like, just a touch high, man.
I have Neighbors given at 27.
Yeah. Let's play this game.
Wide receiver one for the Giants with Daniel Jones or Devonta Smith? Devonta Smith, who?
Yeah, what, top we just know what we're going to get. 1,000 yards. Like, yeah.
Amari Cooper, even with Deshaun Watson, I'll take Cooper. George Pickens, as of right now, I would take George Pickens, given those quarterback situations. Like,
I'm with you.
You tell me I get Russell Wilson last year over the course of 17 games. I'm just saying, last year, zero improvement. He's last year Russell Wilson. I'm still taking his number one versus Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones might end up being fantasy valuable, but for what he's going to do for the passing game. And I'm going to throw these names out. Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, Nico Collins, and now I'm up to DK Metcalf. Are you taking Neighbors over any of those?
No way. I got Neighbors. Yeah. I don't have him as low as you, but in the mid-20s. And the thing with, like, say, Pickens, and everyone's going to talk about the schedule, and I don't think I've ever seen a schedule as tough from week 12 on, but the Steelers defense is great. It's awesome. Like, they're going to put Russell Wilson in or Justin Fields in the second half into situations to have success. The thing with Daniel Jones, and I know we've been hard on him, and sure, he deserves, you know, some of the criticism we've given him, but it's also like the team, the defense, the offensive line, you know, is he going to be down 35 points to start the second half? Like, those are things that happened last year, and it puts the entire offense in just such a tough spot. I know people are like, oh, well, they're just going to be down all the time. They're going to be chucking and there's going to be so many targets. Like, it doesn't always work that way. Like, teams are just going to dial up pressure and blitz all day long. And it's going to be really tough for Neighbors. Welcome to the NFL, dude. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a tough first year. I hope I'm wrong. I love the kid. I think he's great. But it's just going to take a bit of time, I think.
So I'm going to stick with the Giants real quick because this is very, very minor news as on face value. But I think it could raise like an eyebrow in the fact of like if you try to read through the tea leaves. So first, I didn't miss while I was gone. Like, Hakeem Butler hasn't signed again in the NFL, has he again? Like this hasn't come back around. Like, well, because what I'm bringing up is about the UFL. So just this morning, Jacob Sailors played for the Battle Hawks, 5 yards a carry, 5 touchdowns, or was it 6 touchdowns? Anyway. Had a pretty good season. The Giants signed him. Doesn't even make the roster. But the only reason I bring this up is because I see that, and it could tell us one of two things, Meanie. It could tell us, do they want more of a threat to Devin Singletary? That's not where I'm going with it, but you could think that. I'm actually going with the flyer on Tyrone Tracy, and I like Tracy. But the flyer on him, the flyer on Eric Gray, the flyer on anybody in this backfield, if they were confident that there was some kind of pecking order behind Singletary, why would you just bring in another option to get eyes at unless maybe we should stop chasing any Giants running back after Singletary, which kind of sounds crazy to say. And that's all I'm saying. It's like, it's early. Again, might not even make the team. But why you have legit like 3 or 4 options right now that you could argue, like everybody's going to argue some upside for them. And the biggest one seems to be Tracy. But you remember before we left, there was Eric Gray. Like, ooh, don't forget about him from last year. And now they added Sailors, which just kind of makes me feel like, maybe they're not sold on anybody being the clear backup to Singletary.
I could see that, you know, just getting in more bodies and, you know, just having some competitive competition, right? Out of the whether it's the backfield or defensively, because there's just so many holes in this squad. Tracy was getting topped up last week about, you know, just being maybe the pass catching back and inside the offense. And I do kind of feel like that would be his role to start his NFL career as like maybe a third down back. But yeah, I don't think there's really anything here. I still am okay. Maybe in deeper leagues in a PPR formats, taking a flyer on Tracy. He's pretty much free.
Well, see, and I think Tracy's path to fantasy relevance isn't necessarily a Singletary injury. I think it's just his own role being like an Antonio Gibson, because absolutely. This is one of those scenarios where it's like, oh, who do we want if something happens to Singletary? And I think this might be one of the backfields where the answer is nobody. You just kind of hope that Tracy carves out his role and keeps his role, and it doesn't go anywhere. Maybe it increases 10% if Singletary got hurt. But his path isn't a Singletary injury, like, because it's just going to end up being a mess.
Has anyone stepped up before when Saquon was hurt?
No. And that's like, who did you want behind Saquon? Nobody. Yeah, the answer was nobody. So real quick, any interest in just as the real life, that contract that Trevor Lawrence got, and now they're talking about Tua could get similar, and like,
man,
like, are we just in a world where like you just pay to have a quarterback? Because there's no, let's be clear. This is coming from somebody who said that Trevor Lawrence, and I made the joke at the time. I was like, everybody's like, oh, it's the best since Peyton Manning. It's the best since blah, blah, blah. It's the best since whatever. And I, if you remember this meeting, I said, if he's not good in the NFL, we all missed. Like, the entire, there wasn't anybody out there. Let's go back. And maybe, and if there is, kudos. I want to find out whoever it was. But I don't remember anybody saying, you know what? 3-4 years from now, we're going to be talking about Trevor Lawrence as mid-pack. Not even like, okay, he's not top five. Yeah. He still was going to be top 10, still one of the better ones and deserving of this contract. Nobody thinks he deserves this contract right now when you talk about who's it's compared to. This is just what the NFL is at this day. Are you concerned that this is Trevor? Put it this way. Are you concerned that Trevor Lawrence is Derek Carr?
Oh, man.
Am I wrong? So far to his career, am I wrong? Is that not who he is?
In fact, there's a graphic that I'm going to have to share with you after. I don't know if you saw it, but the first 3 years of Trevor Lawrence and the first 3 years of Daniel Jones. Very eerie similar in terms of every single statistic. I'm talking completion percentage, touchdowns, yards. And we all know the backlash of that contract with Daniel Jones, right? And of course, where he's how he's grown after the 3 years, but everybody was ripping that contract. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is making the most money per year at the quarterback position. He's tied with Joe Burrow. He took a step back in year three. Year one, we can say Urban Meyer is a wash. Year two, they got some weapons. Doug Peterson, year three, step back. Yeah, last year was a two steps forward in year two, and then a couple back.
Did you just Paul Abdul us?
I did.
Two steps forward, one step back?
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I want to believe that he has a higher ceiling than Derek Carr, but we haven't seen him get close to that ceiling, that hype just yet. But yeah, it's the quarterback market. And if I'm Miami, I'm saying, holy shit, I don't know if we can give two of those kind of bucks. I don't know if we could do that. They may just have to, and we'll see. It's a very tough schedule for Miami, especially a couple of road games and cold weather near the end of the year. So Tua will, I don't know. Dak needs to get paid too. Like, it's just a quarterback market, man. They're just one-upping each other. Like, Jared Goff got the bag, man. These guys are just all getting paid.
I'm more okay with Jared Goff at this
point. Me too. More lately.
I have apologies for Tua as a real-life quarterback. Fantasy is a whole other world. I'm never going to be interested in fantasy. We've seen that. What happens is just because, no running. Whole other conversation we need to have another day. But I'm going to compare it to something like I texted you about. We got a 60-day notice right before we left for the cruise that we need to move out of our house. Wonderful timing. And Nicole's on her fifth ankle surgery coming up on Friday. So just perfect timing. But I say that to say this. Like, we're kind of in a forced situation. I don't like playing from the force, and just in life. Like, I don't want to make a decision where, like, it's not the best for us because we're hamstrung. Like, oh, I got to make a decision by August 1st, and now I'm going to be stuck in a place I don't want. In 2 years, I'm going to regret it. I kind of feel like that's with Tua in the contract. Like, you just brought that up. It's like, if we don't keep Tua, we have to go back and try and do this all over again.
Right.
And what if it's even worse? But, like, I think that's playing scared. Like, I don't think at the same time you want to tie yourself to Tua for that kind of money for 6 or 7 years and in 2 years be like the Daniel Jones situation. I don't think Tua is as bad as Daniel Jones. Don't, misquote on that. I would take Tua 10 times out of 10, but I wouldn't take him at that cost. I think you're hamstringing the team, the future. And if it doesn't work out now, you're going to be what the Giants are, kind of trying to blow up, but at the same time, build a little bit underneath it. And I just don't think that's the right move for them because you're kind of playing from a trapped position.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. They're in a tough spot because I feel like maybe the organization doesn't fully believe. And I think they'll get those answers if they can wait one more year after this year. But also, if they do extend him and they do sign him to this contract, it can hinder the growth, right? Yeah, puts them back a little bit. Tyreek Hill.
It's like the housing market. Retire? Like, the stuff that's out there is not worth what people want for it. And people are paying for it because the demand is so... It's funny. The demand, I was talking to a financial advisor yesterday. Demand's gone down 10%, but inventory is still down 30%. So people are still paying for what they shouldn't be paying for because they need somewhere to go. And I feel like that's Tua. Like, if you told me Tua 35 million, I'm like, go ahead. Like, you're not going to do much better. But it's pain.
But 53, 50, even if he doesn't get Burrow money, 55, like, it's anything north of 45. And it's like, I'm scratching my head. And the other quarterback too is Dak. Dak, I don't think, is going to be a Cowboy. And they just have Dak and CeeDee and Micah Parsons.
I'd pay Dak before I paid Tua.
Me too. So maybe, though, like, Miami could fall into Dak. The Raiders are a team that I think would throw the bag at a guy like Dak Prescott. They didn't do anything in the draft at the quarterback position, you know, just getting Gardner Minshew, you know, kind of rolling through it this year. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I would pay Dak too more than I would pay to a Trey Lance time. There's another guy. Maybe Trey Lance finds himself a starting job in Dallas, but I don't know, man. Like, the contracts are crazy. That's all I'll say. The contracts are wild.
They're wild. It's like that market. All right. So let's get back to more fantasy relevance. A few more as we get out of here. One, this comes down to, I feel like we're heading towards my disappointment. I know you're probably with me on this, but because similar to Drake London, we get to a point where it's like, yes, one of my favorites, but at some point I'm not paying that cost anymore. And it's not there yet, but we said something on this show as soon as the draft happened, said, there is a new number one for the Chargers. His name is Ladd McConkey. Said it on this very show. And I'm saying that to say, not like, haha, we called it, whatever. But there's this time lapse where fantasy, it seems like the fantasy disconnect to beat writers, because beat writers, I get it, they don't want to make the calls that we make after the draft. We're saying, this is what we believe. These are our projections. These are depth charts, blah, blah, blah. Because this is our experience and what we know. We're not going off what we've been fed from coaches and what we see at practice. We're going off our different knowledge and structure of how we get there. Beat reporters want to make sure they're not like, you know, day one, they're like, oh, I told you Ladd McConkey. And then 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, it's like, oh, the coaching staff does it. Roman Wilson. Like, yeah. Mark Caboli didn't come out of the draft and say Roman Wilson is the number two. He said, there's an opportunity. And now he's actually the one, we're going to talk about the Steelers in a second, is talking up a different wide receiver, because they want to make sure their report is accurate, because their accuracy is a lot more important. I say all to say, McConkey's getting buzz. And now his buzz is he is potentially the number one. Quentin Johnson's been getting a little bit love in the report, saying he's developed as they hope this offseason. What that means and what we see is different. But McConkey as the one, are we going to get to the point where he's in that neighbor's territory if this continues? And it's going to end up being, if he's wide receiver 20 something off the board, we're out, because now where's the return value?
Yeah. I think right now the price is fair, but I think that it's going to rise. Like, it's going to get to that point, because I think he is going to be impressive in camp. I think he is going to be Justin Herbert's favorite target right away. There's just so many. Like, think about Keenan gone and Eckler and Mike Williams, Gerald Everett.
There's
like,
some similarities to Keenan Allen.
There is. There really is. I think sometimes when I watch the tape, it kind of reminds me of Julian Edelman at times too. Like, I love his feet work.
I like my smash, Deontay Lockett. Yeah.
Deontay Lockett is awesome.
But see, you put either one of them on this team as the one, and where are they going? 20th?
Oh,
18th at wide receiver?
So I'm kind of surprised where he's right now. He's wide receiver 40. There's some guys ahead of him that I wouldn't take, like Jordan Addison. I wouldn't take Roma Dunze. I wouldn't take Xavier Worthy. I wouldn't take.
That's still the same with Dunze.
Calvin Ridley. I think Chris Godwin's getting a little bit disrespected as wide receiver 37, but yeah, wide receiver 40. Does he get up to, like, I would rather have him than neighbors, obviously, even thinking about the cost, like if they were just neck and neck. In the draft, I would, if they were both wide receiver 40, 39, 40, I would rather have Ladd. I know you believe in him. I do too. And I'm not feeling the Palmer buzz. He's had moments before without Keenan Allen and Mike Williams on the field. He's been okay. Quentin Johnson, it's nice to hear those reports, still fairly raw. So I think Justin Herbert's going to fall in love with Ladd immediately. And you're right, with Keenan, a very similar, and I know it's a different offense, but it could be a very similar rapport. And we could be looking at a rookie wide receiver who's getting well over 100 targets, and that's appealing to me.
So real quick, in Dynasty, would you float out offers when you see stuff like this just because the helium underneath him or inside him?
I don't know.
Is it underneath or inside? Either sounds weird.
It might be just in, and then he's just floating. I've moved him up ahead of Keon Coleman, and I don't want to overreact about Xavier Worthy, but I don't know. I feel like he's kind of getting overdrafted in rookie onlys in Dynasty just because he's a chief.
Worthy? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Worthy. So, like, I think, you know, I'd rather have
Lamb. I'm with Chris Meany circa 2022. I'm going to have so much Marquise Brown this year. Like, and I don't even care if it busts. Where he's going for the potential, if he's
for sure
the one.
Rice is going to get six games at least, I think.
That's the thing. Like, as of right now, I'm going to have so much Hollywood Brown. All right, two more before we get out of here.
Stay healthy.
Speaking of the Steelers, the reports have been Russell Wilson and Pat Freiermuth, Air Freiermuth, big time connection. There's a clear void for the two. The reason this is interesting, because he doesn't say Roman Wilson as the two. I still think there is a really good chance. We've talked about it. Part of Meany and I being on Roman Wilson is, again, tea leaves type of situation. When Mike Tomlin talked up the player, Mike Tomlin coached up the player, Mike Tomlin put Roman Wilson against Quinion Mitchell.
Quinion Mitchell, yeah.
I've been gone too long. I was about to say Quinton, because we just talked about it, and then as soon as that entered my mind, I was like, wait, it's wrong. And I got to get the name out of my head, and you're stuck.
I only know because he's an Eagle.
Well, of course. But he put him against Mitchell in practice, and Wilson was succeeding. Not all the time, but I mean, he also put him there because Wilson was beating everybody else.
Right.
So I say all that to say, that's where we're going with Wilson. Caboli's been talking up Freiermuth and Calvin Austin. Do you believe that maybe the answer here, and this is kind of where I go with it, is if we are wrong on Roman Wilson, I'm not so much Calvin Austin, because I think Calvin Austin is not a two in the NFL.
Right.
But I think the answer might be that the number two ends up being the tight end and not a wide receiver. Is that something where you're considering Freiermuth? I don't want to say it like that. Freiermuth is a value right now, and maybe somebody we should be thinking about in the tight end one conversation?
Yeah, I do buy into this report about Freiermuth and Russell Wilson just building a rapport right away, right? He's a big body tight end, so some nice moments in the NFL. It's just the quarterback play has been so awful. Be a red zone threat. You know that Pickens is always going to have top coverage, and if Roman Wilson can't step up, I also agree with you on Austin, but if Roman Wilson can't step up as the two, it may take a little bit of time. You see some double coverage on a guy like George Pickens. He's never really faced top corners yet in the NFL. There's been moments where he has, but Deontay Johnson, for the most part, has always got that top attention. So there could be some struggles, like the year I told you about Juju. Right? This is a new role for him. Like, I like Pickens too, but we'll see. Pat Freiermuth is, dude's a mismatch. He can get open as a tight end, and he can make plays. So I'm buying. I'm hearing it. I heard it on NFL radio last week. There was a Steelers reporter that came on, was just talking about the rapport right away, that these guys just seem to be on the same page. So I think as tight end 14, 15, like Dallas Goedert, you know what you're getting with Dallas Goedert. He's a fine tight end, right? You're going to get your 700 yards, maybe four, five. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I would rather, like, if I'm waiting, I think there's a strategy that I'm kind of getting behind is elite tight end this year. But if I'm waiting and I don't get a Ferguson potentially, who I'm into, I think Pat Freiermuth at the end, you know, if it doesn't work out, then you're playing this tight end game on the waiver wire. But I think he should get targets as the number two, Jake.
If you told me that Freiermuth and Ferguson, actually, if you told me Freiermuth finishes in front of Ferguson, I wouldn't be shocked by it. By the way, this wide receiver depth chart's hilarious. I think we should just call him the Pittsburgh. Hey, remember that guy? Because it's legitimately like Van Jefferson. Calvin Austin can even put his name in this conversation. But Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller, Quez Watkins, Marquez Callaway, Denzel Mims, Dez Fitzpatrick. Like, it's legit, like, dudes, excuse me, dude, like three or fours on most teams that never hit. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, never. That guy. Oh, yeah, that guy. I remember that guy.
Steelers just taking shots on all these guys like they did with Russell Wilson, like they did with, you know, Botlow and Justin Fields. So, hey, maybe one of them will pan out for them. But I believe that Roman will be the number two wide receiver, but I could see him being third on the team of targets pretty easily. Yeah.
So two quick ones, one painful. Real quick, we get Drake May and Jalen Polk connecting on everything. Do you really care about that right now?
I care from a dynasty standpoint. I don't care about it this year. I think in the future, don't let Polk fall in your drafts, and don't let Drake May fall in dynasty.
I'll change the question. Who's more likely to be the week one starter for their team, Jacoby Brissett or Sam Darnold?
Oh, man, I think both. I think Brissett is more likely, but I am buying into... I mean, Kevin O'Connell said that it doesn't mean it's written in stone, but he did say as they enter camp, Sam Darnold's his QB1.
This is what I like. Like, look, I still think there's a real chance McCarthy is the week one. Like, you don't draft him where you do.
I do too.
He's showing anything kind of talent that you thought you were getting, and he's not the week one starter. You're not... Your future is not with Sam Darnold. But... I like making it clear of like, he's our starter. Is the door still open? Yes. But like, just do this and don't be like, oh, we're going to play this game. And then JJ McCarthy looks good. So now people start speculating, asking more. Like he put it out. I want coaches to do what Kevin O'Connell did. Even if he's lying, he wants right. McCarthy. Just put it out there. So there's not constant questions over and over and over again. And then you're messing with McCarthy's mind because it's like, oh, I'm in play. I had a bad day. Now it's Darnold again. Oh, I had a good day. Now Darnold. Like, just do this, and if he wins the job, he won the job.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I love everything that Kevin O'Connell does, man. He's a stud. And I think it's just great for everybody. It's great for the entire team. Everybody, you know, you're not sugarcoating anything. You're just saying it. This is what it is. Things can change. But I think that you get the respect from your players. And it also, you know, it gives a little bit of confidence to Sam Darnold, like, okay, you know, I have a real shot at this thing. But it also gives a little bit of a push to JJ McCarthy and seeing how he develops into camp and battling to be that week one starter. And I agree. I mean, you trade up one spot to get him as a top 10 pick. He's the quarterback of the future. Sam Darnold was the third overall pick. He's got a great arm, but he's had issues, taking care of the football. So he could lose that job pretty quickly. Wouldn't be shocked. Right. Everyone's talking to him up again, like the best quarterback they've ever seen in camp. I don't understand. I guess I need to watch some tape.
If I could be that bad at my job, maybe I am. I mean, maybe people are like, you are Sam Darnold. Like, I don't know. The dude just get like chances and chance. And jokes aside, like, we're not even halfway to the number of chances Justin Fields has gotten for Sam Darnold. And like, people want to bear like his career. Hell, like, oh, he made 2 good throws per day in practice. Bryce Young's career is like over in some people's minds in 1 year. And Sam Darnold's on his like 75th chance. And it's just like,
speaking of Bryce Young, did you see what he said? Yes. What did he say yesterday about Xavier Leggett? He's going to have to get used to how big he is, or big and fast or something.
I mean,
there was a weird comment, but I mean, what he was working with last year would have been.
Oh, what he's working with? Obviously. I was going to say when you're 5'3", everybody looks big to you. So
like, yeah, that, but you also didn't have anyone like who giant. Can separate last year. So it's probably really new to him to see Deontay and Xavier Leggett. It's going to be a new offense. Exciting for him.
So ending on a bad note here. It's been 2.5 weeks. The news started as I left, and now it's only grown since I left. But part of it is because Kyren Williams isn't playing in OTA. Well, he's not practicing. He's not doing OTAs because he's banged up. But the Blake Corum news, from a performance from his own coach, but we've done this before with McVay, to be clear, and talks up running back, talked up Zach Evans, let's be clear. But it's been bubbling, it's been building. I'm not saying it's in a boil yet, but it's simmering, it's getting there. The Blake Corum, hey, we're gonna get you 3 down work, all this type of stuff. How concerned on a scale of 1 to 10 are you for Kyren Williams?
I would say, like, what, 10 being
the most concerned possible.
Yeah,
like,
I would say
panic,
like
SpongeBob screaming back and forth with your arms flailing in the air. Like that.
I would say I'm probably like a 3.5, closer to 4. I'd like to see Kyren Williams on the field. Let's be honest. I want to see this guy on the field. We know what he can do. But last year kind of surprised everybody, right? And I've said this before to you, his build, can he handle a full workload over the full course of the season? That's yet to be seen. Didn't happen last year. Already battling through something right now. Corum on the field, you know, making plays, impressive, learning everything about McVay and Stafford. That's very important, especially for a rookie running back. But I haven't moved Kyren. I still have him like as a solid RB1, right after Saquon and Taylor. I still think he's going to be the guy there. He might lose some touches, but he's going to get the goal line work. He's still going to catch a few passes out of the backfield, but you'd like to see him on the field. But I am seeing Corum now, like, in I've done a lot of rookie drafts, I'm seeing him go ahead of like Lloyd and Wright. And I don't know. I think I kind of like the talent of Wright and Lloyd.
Well, I did have one toss up before we get out of here for you. I'm still taking this other running back, which I guess I could have just asked the question and done it. But anyway, I was trying to like tease it, but then I realized just by saying that, I just told you my answer anyway. So anyway, I'm a little rusty after 2.5 weeks. So anyway, I say as of today on Underdog, you're drafting. I'm assuming they're close enough to say, we'll say same cost, same round. They're both on the board for you. As of today, would you take Corum or would you take a running back with somebody in front of him who's been hurt every single year of his career and Trey Benson?
I would take Corum. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I think I would take Corum. It's pretty close to me. I'm still in on Connor. I know he may miss a game or two, but I still think he is a really good value. Or 4 or 5. Benson's going ahead of him in most drafts. I think that's kind of silly.
I think it's an easy toss-up. Like, I think, like, I might lead Benson just because of the history.
I think there's a clearer path for Benson. I can get talked into him. I think there's a clearer path for hit touches right away for him. Yeah, given Connor's health. But the Rams do this with all these running backs, man. Like, just, I don't know. It's almost like whatever one Sean McVay is feeling for the year. He's just going to give them those touches.
Well, glad you said that because that's good to get out of here on. In Dynasty, this is one where, like, if you drafted Blake Corum already in your rookie draft, I would start fielding offers. Look for a way to improve your team with Corum. Because you just mentioned, it's not just the running back, but it's McVay. Like, Corum could be an RB1 this year. But it's Sean McVay and the Rams, where it could be this year, they sign or draft somebody next year, and that was fun. Corum for 1 year. Like, well, McVay almost kind of does that every year.
He has drafted a back every year. I mean, Akers and Henderson, and I think there was another one even mixed in there that was...
I can see his face. I was about to say...
I mean, Kyron, there's all these guys he's drafted ever since this first year with the Rams, he's drafted them. I don't know, Ronnie Rivers. I wouldn't draft
Ronnie Rivers, but I think he was a flyer. I'm trying to think. It was before Zach Evans. It was the big dude. And everybody's like, oh, he's got that. People compared him to Zach Moss and stuff. I can't remember. Anyway, but so Meanie, as we get out of here, what are you going to do with hockey being done tonight? Yes, we were calling the series.
I don't know. I just fully turn my attention to the NFL. Not that I haven't already, but it'll just be full on mean streets of just football, football, football. And it's nice. NBA, say goodbye to it. NHL, say goodbye to it. Order a jersey for our guy Fox for winning the Dangle Batselli NHL Bracket Challenge. He's going to get that. We'll get him a nice San Jose Sharks jersey. But I'm just going to watch some football. watch football film. Get ready for the season. It's here.
I was also trying to like Jake Funk. There you go. Found him. There was the other one.
Oh, Jake Funk. Yeah, I do. I had him in my taxi squad for 2 years, and I think he touched the field once or twice. It's jokes.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, he drafted Jake Funk. He's going to be so good. Zach Wallace. White Zach Wallace. He's so good. All right. We'll be back next week. Still working the name. I don't know. Maybe we have to do something with All In and Ranking together. I don't know. I'm going to put out one final poll. I need to get it down to 4. There's been some good votes and some good suggestions, people. And I know I want DuckTales somehow involved too, but Ranked Tales just kind of sounds, I don't know. It's good and bad at the same time.
Yeah, it's good and bad. It's not one of my favorites, but I think,
Jiggle said All In Ranked Tales. It's like,
All In Ranked Tales is I like that a little bit more. I think for you do whatever the heart says. You're a man of the people.
A man of the people.
Maybe
maybe ever call me that. Oh, speaking of which,
it didn't feel right saying it actually.
Hey, you lie. I didn't. Speaking of DuckTales, I didn't get to. I was going to do DuckTales and karaoke on the ship. I was 100%. But the crowd just wasn't. You could tell, like the crowd that we went to karaoke. So there was family and adult. Family was at 7. A lot of kids did it at 9:30 is when the adult one was. But the crowd was either 20s, so they would know nothing that we know, or like 50. Like, so there's like nobody. I was even like, I can't do DuckTales, or maybe I'll do Blink. Maybe I'll do something like that, or Jimmy Eat World. And I'm looking at the crowd. I'm like, nobody's going to know these songs. Like, there's
no.
It's just the worst. So I decided, by the way, Friday night for Flex, we are going out to karaoke Friday night before Flex. Feel free to video, and I'm going to find a way to do DuckTales while we're up there.
I'm in. I'm a big karaoke fan. So I got a few tricks up my sleeve. Not really tricks, but there's a few tricks? Songs I would. A few
Nicole,
songs I would
do. Nicole actually did karaoke on the ship. And
nice.
Yeah.
What song never did she would do? Have expected you remember?
That. It was a country song. It was Oh shoot. I just no, neither did I. She's like, "Do you want to do it with me?" I was like, "I don't know that the song." I didn't like I don't really listen to country. What the hell was it? Why can't I think of it? As this is a great exit to the show now. People would know it too. I'm going to have to look it up. I'm going to have to call. I'll tweet it out and let you know, or I'll text you too. You're not going to get
Take Me
see
Home,
that
Country Roads is actually a really good guess because somebody it's did a that one. Pretty popular song. Yeah, somebody always does that at karaoke.
So, she would actually divorce me if I showed this publicly. So I'm just letting you know. It's like this is never see the light of day.
Save it for New York.
Yes. And we'll save any of your questions. Next week, we'll be back normal time. Maybe not with Meanie. Meanie's got a busy schedule next week, but we'll figure something out. So until then, we'll see you.
Peace.
Love you.